What you're about to hear was aired on Planet Philadelphia, environmental radio show on Germantown Community Radio, 92.9 FM, WGGTLP in Philadelphia, and on gtownradio.com. I'm really happy to have Liz Robinson back with us. She's the executive director of the Philadelphia Solar Energy Association, and she's come on Planet Philadelphia to talk about what's going on in Harrisburg. Hi, Liz.
Great. Thanks so much.
There's a lot going on in Harrisburg, but I think the main thing we need to address today is that Governor Shapiro has proposed new plans for how to deal with energy going forward.
Right. Well, Governor Shapiro announced a major initiative, which is really comprised of two program policies. And these are a carbon market and an alternative energy portfolio standard. So these two initiatives, the shorthand here is PRESS and PACER. And starting with PRESS, this stands for Pennsylvania Reliable Energy Sustainability Standard. And it will amend an existing law called the Pennsylvania Alternative Energy Portfolio Standard. The Alternative Portfolio Standard was passed about 20 years ago. So this is amending an existing 20-year-old law. And when Pennsylvania adopted the APS, the Alternative Portfolio Standard, it required that utilities, electric utilities statewide, acquire 8% clean renewable energy in their portfolio. That's why it's called a portfolio standard. So that the law did its job, the utilities got 8% into their portfolio by 2021. And now PRESS will expand that to 35% by 2035. So it's simply expanding tier one of the portfolio standard to 35%. It also maintains tier two in the portfolio standard, but changes it slightly. And then it adds a tier three. So I'm going to go through this pretty quickly so your listeners get a sense of what this law will do. So PRESS, the tier one, contains solar photovoltaic, that's PV for short, and solar thermal. It contains wind power of any size. It contains low impact hydro. Low impact means relatively small hydro. This is sometimes called run of river. So it's really very small hydropower generation. The fourth resource here is geothermal energy. And when you say geothermal, people usually think volcanoes. But what we're talking about here in Pennsylvania is a new form of geothermal, which is being developed now. So it's using the same drilling technology that frackers use, but going deeper toward the core of the earth to tap into extremely hot rocks and then push water down that drill hole to generate steam. So this is a technology that is new. It's not available currently. Currently, it's extremely expensive, and we'll see how quickly it develops. The fifth resource is called small modular reactors, or SMRs. This is a new generation of nuclear power. There is nothing in place in Pennsylvania. We don't have one. We have one project that is under discussion with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And again, we'll see how far that goes. The next resource is fusion energy, which is current reactors use fission. The fusion has always been thought that it would be around the corner, you know, any day now, but we'll see how that develops. The last two resources are methane, using coal bed methane and landfill methane. Both of these are currently in tier one. Both of these are really important to capture. Methane is a much more powerful greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. So capturing methane emissions both coal mine, coal bed and landfill are extremely important. So that's tier one. There are eight resources listed in tier one. And these tier one resources can be acquired anywhere. They're not restricted to Pennsylvania. So these can all be acquired anywhere. Tier two is now 10%, so it dropped down from 12 to 10. It is limited to in-state Pennsylvania resources, and it's comprised of nine resources, which is a mix of, I would say, dirty and clean. So the first one here is non-solar distributed generation. This is really essentially fossil fuel based. The second is combined heat and power or cogeneration. This is an excellent resource which simply uses waste heat to generate electricity. But again, this is a fossil-based resource because the heat is usually created with gas. So both the first and second one are principally fossil-based. The third resource in tier two is demand-side management. And this is an excellent, excellent resource. This is a very much underdeveloped, very clean, and very cheap resource in Pennsylvania. So demand-side management really consists of combination of very small end uses in energy efficiency and solar plus storage. In order to it's harvesting these resources that are already existing, but using them in a very intelligent way to lower peak demand. And when you lower peak demand, you save a lot of money for everyone. So this is an extremely important resource for Pennsylvania to develop. The fourth is large scale hydro. Already all of the large scale hydro in the state is it's under contract. So there won't be any new resource in that area. Natural gas or coal using clean hydrogen is the next resource. Now, this is something we don't currently have. We don't have clean hydrogen. Clean hydrogen means hydrogen that is generated using renewable energy, principally solar and wind. We don't have that resource yet. It's a very expensive resource to develop. I'm not really sure how this makes economic sense because blending 80% clean hydrogen with natural gas is going to be more expensive than just solar or wind by itself. So I'm not really sure why utilities would choose this one. The next resource is fuel cells, which again is relatively small and quite expensive. Biomass energy is currently in tier two. And certainly a resource to be tapped. And the next resource, 24-hour storage, co-located with a tier one resource, is a bit limited in my opinion. This would require water, so it's really pumped hydro. This is the 24-hour limitation is not necessary. So I'm not quite sure why the decision was made to limit this to only 24-hour storage. That's a very limited category of storage, and storage is extremely valuable and important. So I think if we could modify that to expand to a larger range of storage, it would be a lot better. And then the last resource in tier two is actually tier one. So interestingly, the way this is constructed is both tiers two and three can be satisfied with additional tier one resource. So for example, if a utility meets its 35% tier one obligation early and wants to simply fill up tier two and three with clean renewable energy, it can do so. So there's no reason it has to use these other resources. It can just use tier one, which it might choose to do because, frankly, tier one may be less expensive than tiers two or three. And in tier two, interestingly, if you do use tier one resources, if you acquire those resources from powering public schools, you receive double the credit. So, for example, a public school with solar can sell those credits into this press standard and get double credit for it, which is a terrific idea. And now moving on to tier three. Tier three is only 5%, but let me run through these resources. The first one is natural gas or coal using clean hydrogen, 20%. So if you're only using 20% clean in a gas mix, it's going to be cheaper and a lot dirtier. The second resource is waste coal, which is extremely dirty. Third one is municipal solid waste. This is burning trash, essentially, which is also extremely dirty. Fourth one, integrated combined coal gasification. This is a long-standing generation methodology. It's also not very large, also dirty. And the fifth one is generation from what's called black liquor. And that is a collection of resources that are waste products from wood processing, pulping. It's a bunch of things, and it's quite dirty. And then you can also satisfy tier three by using additional tier one resources. So, frankly, this inclusion of tier three, I think, is problematic, because all of these resources, except for the spillover from tier one, are extremely dirty, and it's very troubling that utilities would be required to use these resources, to be frank. So that's my take on PRESS, and I'll just move on to PACER. PACER stands for Pennsylvania Climate Emissions Reduction Initiative. It is very similar to RGGI in many ways. It's a carbon-based cap and dividend slash invest program, but it is only Pennsylvania-based. It's not a regional program. It's just state-based. Pennsylvania's Department of Environmental Protection will set the cap and the price of carbon allowances. The allowances will be tradable in the RGGI market, but the big difference from RGGI is right here. Under RGGI, the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, 100% of the allowance revenue has to be used to clean our air. But in PACER, that's not the case. In PACER, 70% of allowance revenue will be returned to customers as a bill credit. And the way that will be calculated is on a volumetric basis, which means the larger your energy consumption, the larger your bill credit will be. And then the balance, the 30%, will be used to invest in energy efficiency, fund a year-round low-income home energy assistance program, carbon capture and storage, and other related energy technologies. So it is unlike RGGI in that regard. So PACER will not have as much environmental benefit as RGGI does. And if PACER fails to pass through the legislature and become law, and if RGGI is approved by the Supreme Court, Pennsylvania Supreme Court, then RGGI would go into effect. But if PACER is passed through by the legislature, the governor will withdraw RGGI. So it would be either PACER or RGGI. So those are the two initiatives, and co-sponsorship memos were released last week, which was very exciting. Don't have a date yet, but we're expecting legislation to be introduced soon. And then following that, hopefully later this spring and summer, we'll have a schedule of public hearings. So there will be a lot of public discussion about both of these and the opportunity for the state to hear from the public.
We'll come back to this on Planet Philadelphia, particularly let people know about the public hearings. But before that, if people want to read up on this, what would you suggest they do?
And the best thing, frankly, are the co-sponsorship memos. Those contain the most information, and you can find those on the state's legislative website. So you would just look up under the Pennsylvania legislative website for PRESS and PACER, and you'll find them both.
Well, thank you so much.
Sure. Great to see you.
If you want to know more about Planet Philadelphia, go to planetphiladelphia.com. You could also find out more about other G-Town Radio programming by going to gtownradio.com. I hope you will consider making a small monthly donation to help Planet Philadelphia continue presenting interviews on important underreported environmental topics and exploring their complexities and intersections. Thank you so much for your support.